Hey guys, it's Sammy
and Robbie
back again to tell you about another upcoming con.
And we're super excited about this one.
Mm-hmm. It's another Indiana one. This one is PopCon, Indie PopCon to be exact. And it's going to be in Indianapolis, again at the Convention Center.
Indiana Convention Center.
Right in downtown Indianapolis. And Robbie will be there April 26th through the 28th.
Yes. We were just at the Indiana Comic-Con, so if you missed us, you get a chance to meet us again at PopCon.
Yes, well, at least Robbie.
At least me. Ashley will be there.
Oh, yeah, Ashley will be there. That's an exciting thing.
Ashley will be there, so you get to meet a lot of us on the network.
Yeah, two-thirds.
Two-thirds of it, yes.
There you go. Yeah.
So if you're coming to the show, please stop by the Limitless Broadcasting booth. We're always excited to see you.
All right. Well, I guess we'll see you guys at the show.
Bye.
Bye. You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Oh, and something I forgot. Dust. Just a little bit of pixie dust.
Welcome, foolish mortals, to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Sammy.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Shall we begin?
It's time to get things started on the most sensational, inspirational, celebrational, motivational show.
Welcome, Pixie Dusters. We're your favorite hosts. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Ashley. Welcome to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast, not featuring Dan.
I thought you were going to do that. I was waiting for it. Yes, Dan is not here for a hot minute.
Yes, he has things to do for the spooky season.
He's a busy, busy, busy person right now, yes. Unfortunately.
But it's okay. You still have us.
Yes, we are here. But let's hope... We, as Ashley said before the episode started, we don't have like our wrangler, our logical voice.
No.
Who always tries to kind of, you know, smooth things over and give, you know, both perspectives. So we shall see how the next couple weeks go. Well,
we have next 2 weeks should be fine. I think you and I are on the same page with these next two.
I really feel like the list of movies that we were looking at, I feel like we're probably going to have similar opinions on a lot of this, actually.
Yeah, I think the controversy has passed.
Yeah, for now. Yes.
For a hot minute.
Yeah, I agree. Well, so today.
Yes. What are we talking about, Sammy?
Today. Is Turning Red, which I did watch.
So did I.
Last year? No, I watched this like before we did this for the podcast. Oh. Last year? It came out last year. I don't know if I watched it last year. I did watch it last year. I have watched it twice now. That's what I will say. Two times.
Once.
I've seen it. Yeah.
It took me 2 days to watch it, but once.
Understandable. Yeah. Yeah. So let's
see. I was just... a teenage girl. I would be very offended by this movie.
Let's just get into it.
Okay.
Because I don't want to go already on like a big rambling.
Sorry.
We're going to get there. I already know. So we'll just chime in as we go along with some of these thoughts. All right. So summary, which I got off of Rotten Tomatoes. In Turning Red, Mei Li is a confident, dorky 13-year-old torn between staying her mother's dutiful daughter and the chaos of adolescence. And as if changes to her interests, relationships, and body weren't enough, whenever she gets too excited, which for a teenager is practically always, she poofs into a giant red panda. Yep. There you go. All right. So this movie is rated PG for thematic material. There we go. I'm going to get this. I'm very tired today. I woke up earlier than I should have, and I'm like struggling my life. Suggestive content and language.
There's language?
I'm trying to think. Was there really language?
I was listening. I didn't hear language.
I don't know. I don't know where they got that from. I don't know. Anyways.
I don't believe it.
But the genre is still kids and family, comedy, fantasy, animation. This is directed by Dami Shi, producer Lindsay Collins, writer Julia Cho, Dami Shi. And I wanted to highlight all that because it's a lot of women and a lot of Asian writers, influences in this movie. So just so you know. It's an hour and 40 minutes long. And of course, it was produced by Pixar for Walt Disney Pictures. And it was released not in theaters, but on streaming. On streaming on March 11th, 2022. I don't know why I thought this movie came out like closer to the, like the more beginnings of the pandemic. I didn't remember it was 2022.
Because time just doesn't feel like time anymore since we had the pandemic.
It does not. It's so hard to like understand our lives the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. It just makes no sense in my head. So I really thought this was closer to like 2021 when we were still like, oh, we're finally getting vaccines and blah, blah, blah. No, it was 2022. So yeah, but it still came out on streaming only.
It happened.
So ratings. Now critics, according to Rotten Tomatoes, gave it a 95%, which is fascinating to me. I was very surprised by this. The audience on Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 68%.
Still kind of high.
And IMDb was a 7 out of 10.
Huh?
Which is fascinating to me because that's like equivalent to some of the Harry Potter ratings. Harry Potter was a little higher. You know, it was 7 point something, whatever. But still, I was like, what is happening with this? This movie is all over the place. I don't know. Just throwing that out there. What?
Well, okay. So you and I, we maybe we're looking at it from the lens of when we were teenagers, but we didn't have a different culture to combat while we were growing up.
Yeah.
So that might be why our lenses are a little different.
And that could be. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess I was also surprised because we will get into it, but it had a lot of controversy with it too. So I guess that also surprised me for the ratings.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I don't know. We shall see.
Yeah.
So the cast, again, just kind of want to point it out because it's a very diverse cast, which is good for Hollywood. Bravo. Bravo. Not just hiring a bunch of white people to do all these voices. Rosalie Chang or Chang. I know I'm going to butcher these names. So please, I'm so sorry. Is Malin. Sandra Oh is Ming, which is her mom. Ava Morris was Miriam, who was the like tomboy friend. I could not remember
the braces.
Like, the only friend's name I could remember was Abby because she was very weird. That's the only friend's name
Abby,
I remember.
Yeah, Abby is a little intense.
Abby was like, a lot in this
movie.
Oh
gosh.
Yes.
She was just on all the time. How is she not exhausted?
Yes, exactly. So speaking of Abby, she was voiced by Hyun Park, and Maitri Ramakrishnan is Priya. And I just want to shout her out because I like this actress. She is in Never Have I Ever on Netflix, which is a Mindy Kaling show, and I really like that show. So I just want to shout her out too. Which when I heard her voice, I was like, is that her? And then of course I looked it up and I was like, yeah, it is her. So just shout out to her. And then we have Orion Lee, who is Jin Lee, who's the father in the movie. Yeah. And of course, there's a bunch of other people, but that's where we're going to stop for the cast, because that's kind of the main people. So we have a little bit of trivia. So, and I thought this was interesting. According to Samba TV, Turning Red was streamed in 2.5 million U.S. households over its opening weekend, which is the most ever for a Disney Plus original title. Did not know that.
Huh.
Yeah. And according to Nielsen, Turning Red became the second most watched movie on U.S. streaming services in 2022 with 11.4 billion minutes viewed. And I did not expect that. So I thought that
was kind of cute.
I mean, for kids, I could see them maybe wanting to rewatch it with the panda and the goofiness of the movie. So I'm assuming that's where a lot of the viewership came from, were kids wanting to rewatch it. Most likely. So And as explained in various interviews, director Dami Shi took inspiration from four Japanese anime regarding the film's creation. Fruits Basket from 2001, Ranma One Half from 1989, Sailor Moon from 92, and Inuyasha?
Don't remember how to say that one. From 2000. I used to watch it.
I threw these in here because I know you might know at least some of these. And it definitely had that feeling with some of the animation. You could tell it was like anime influence.
Definitely the Sailor Moon vibes. Mm-hmm. Like now that you say that, every time their eyes went big, like the big on thing. The boys, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my gosh, that is Sailor Moon. That's how she mm-hmm. looked at what's his face every single time she saw him.
So there you go. They got, yep, that's exactly what they were referencing. They got that from those movies.
Yeah. And Inish, shoot, how do you say that name? I watched that show with my brother and I can't remember how to say it, but yeah. I see both the vibes. Mm-hmm. I don't know the other two. I've never seen the other two.
Yeah, but there you go. So there's confirmation mm-hmm. right there from Ashley. Okay. And the number four is considered unlucky in Chinese culture because it sounds similar to the word for death in both Mandarin and Cantonese, which I did not know that. So I learned something new. From the trivia.
You know, it was unlucky. I didn't know why.
Yeah, I did not know why she kept saying it was unlucky, but I guess if it sounds like the word death, that probably is, I could see.
Makes sense. Yeah. I love that grandma had the four at the end.
I know, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. And if you don't remember the trailer, the song used in the official trailer was It's Gonna Be Me by NSYNC, which, you know, for us, obviously.
Nostalgia.
Lots of love. And I threw this in here because when I saw the name, I was like, I know this name, and I was right. So Ludwig Göransson. Yeah, sure. Again. Yeah, Ludwig. Okay, bro, Ludwig. He mm-hmm. Did the score for this, and this is his first score for an animated film. And I knew I recognized his name because he also worked on Black Panther, the Creed films, The Mandalorian, The Book of Boba Fett, and like a million other things, including Oppenheimer, nice. Which just came out. So yeah, he's really working his way up. But I remember it was mostly because like I saw his picture and I was like, he mm-hmm. worked on The Mandalorian because he has a very distinct look if you look him up.
Oh, does he?
He does. Yeah. So you would definitely recognize him. And I did see, like, I didn't really read about him, but he did reference our favorite composer, Mr. John Williams, as being a very big influence in his life. So
that's good. Because someday we will no longer have Williams and we need people to aspire to be as good as him.
Yes, and he's doing a lot of work, so we shall keep an eye on Ludwig, especially, yes. We won't get into John Williams' age or anything like that. Let's just move on.
No, so, I don't need to deal with that right now.
Okay, so as always, there are Easter eggs in the Pixar movies. So, there is a clownfish sticker on one of the bathroom stalls at May's school, which is a reference to Finding Nemo. The Pizza Planet truck briefly appears when May is running to the concert in her red panda form. Did not see it because I never in my life remember to look for the Pizza Planet
truck. I don't either.
When I'm watching these movies.
No, I don't either.
I never do. The vampire romance novel carried around by Priya is a parody of Stephanie Meyer's Twilight book series that was popular in the 2000s. Yeah.
When I saw that, I'm like, oh, really?
But it makes sense.
This movie was taking place in 2000.
In 2002. That's the
I was like, mm-hmm. I didn't realize that until something comes up. I'm hoping you say it. If not, I'll say it.
Okay. Yeah. We'll see. When May is first introduced walking down the street, the view zooms in on her flute case and you can see various references regarding that the movie takes place in the early 2000s. There's stickers about Y2K, AOK, and saving the whales, which was a big mm-hmm. environmental crisis in the early 2000s. So yeah. And we talked about this and explained it to Dan very poorly at the beginning because we struggled, but I have it written down this time. So Pixar's A113 Easter egg appears twice in the movie. It's a line marker used by Jin Lee, labeled as professional model A113, and as a seat number on a ticket for the Four Town concert.
Oh, nice.
So did we mention whatever thing was?
No. Okay. Well, it's not really an Easter egg, but it was just kind of something I'm like, oh, this is taking place not during this time. Mm-mm. When she gives May the burnt CD.
The burnt CD. She's got the Tamagotchi. Yeah.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. the Tamagotchi. I'm like, is this taking place during our childhood? Like, what's happening right now?
Yes. So
that's when I'm like, something's wrong here.
These kids are really our age.
Yeah.
In all technicality, because it's 2002 and they're 13. So, I mean.
And that's when we were 13. Oh my gosh. That's when we were.
This age.
Oh gosh.
Yes. So.
I'm just going to have a crisis over here while you continue to talk.
It bothers me a lot when I think about it too much, too. When I got, you know, when it really dawned on me when I was like 2002 and I was like, oh, I had a Tamagotchi for sure. And stickers on things. And I remember Y2K. Yeah. Yeah. And boy bands.
I'm dying inside right now. I'm just saying.
Yeah. So yeah, 2002.
Four Town is our NSYNC and our Backstreet Boys.
Yes.
Actually, I wonder if it's a take on A-Town. Because A-Town was a group when we were younger.
It was supposed to be A-Town or O-Town?
Well, there's both. There was an A-Town and an O-Town.
Okay. I saw a reference specifically O-Town for this one.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter. They were all like the same. They all dressed very similarly.
I know.
So really and truly, it's all the boy bands. I mean, at the end of the day,
that's what's happening. I'm feeling attacked by Pixar now.
I mean, maybe a little.
Slightly.
Yeah, maybe a little.
We've been slightly attacked by Pixar at this moment.
Maybe a little. We'll get into it. Okay. All right. So there's controversy around this film. If you didn't know, so first of all, we're going to start with the fact that I do remember that this was advertised in theaters and then they didn't release it in theaters. As I said, it was on Disney Plus. So they canceled the theatrical release. It was supposed to be in theaters and Disney said, oh, never mind. It's going to be on Disney Plus. And yeah, Pixar didn't like that. Mm-mm, no. They thought it was disrespectful and kind of understand that. And they thought it was going to be their first movie back on the big screen, because as we said, this came out in 2022 and we were all just kind of getting back into the movie theaters. You know, people are vaccinated, it's opening back up and people are feeling more comfortable. And Disney was like, no, never mind. Yeah, this is going to be your like third one. I think this was the third one at this point, Pixar movie on Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm. Luca.
Soul was supposed to be in theaters and got moved because
it was 2020. Yeah. So Soul, Luca.
Yeah. So they thought this would be their big return to the theaters and they said it was quite a blow. And Dami, she said, we made this movie to be seen on the big screen. So I do feel bad for them because Disney.
Well, that was during a horrible regime, so we can just blame it.
Yeah, we know what was going on, and they're still trying to get their lives together since then.
Oh my gosh,
so,
yeah.
As we've discussed on this show.
It's going to take a year or two for them to get their crap in order.
They need to really figure out what they're doing with their lives between movie releases in theaters and Disney Plus.
Bob signed on to stay longer again.
I know, bro. Get it together.
Get it together.
Please and thank you.
But it's a big organization. It's going to take time.
I know. It's not like they can just be like, yeah, we're just do all these random things overnight. It's, like, no.
It's easier to break something down than build it back up.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Okay. So this film, moving on to other controversies. This film was banned in Kuwait due to suggestions of puberty.
So that doesn't surprise me.
Can't talk about puberty in Kuwait, just so you know. The Daily Beast, I read through an article on there about it. So there was a review that was put up by the Chicago Sun-Times that denounces Turning Red's discussions about puberty, saying that kiddos might have questions. I was like, okay, I'll read them. And then there's the case of the film's splotchy audience score on Rotten Tomatoes and pushback from parents online, thanks to May's crushes on boys and the mother's presentation of menstrual pads in this movie. This just fascinated me reading some of this stuff. I love it. And then there's one review on Rotten Tomatoes, which I did not find. I looked through a lot of reviews and we're gonna share some of them here in a minute. One review bashes the film for including adult topics like puberty and menstruation, which I didn't know that was an adult topic because I don't know about you, but I was
a teenager.
I was certainly not an adult when that happened to me.
I mean, the puberty, it was around this age.
Yeah.
It's middle school when this happens.
Hate to break it to you.
Don't, if you're worried about it, don't let your like young elementary student watch it. Like this honestly should have been they should have matured it slightly to make it a middle school like audience.
Well, I mean, they're in middle school.
They are. So but the animation is very kid.
But it's also like Pixar. So I mean,
yeah, it's true.
You know what I mean? Like, it's so hard to like nitpick it a little bit. Yeah, because of that. And they don't like blatantly, they're not like, May got her period today and we're gonna discuss the cycle and how the egg comes. No, she says the word pad. She says the word pad like twice in the movie. Okay.
And I wonder if that's the language on the rating.
Maybe it is. And there's the reference, you know, turning into the panda, and she smells now and she loses her confidence because she's going through puberty, and that's right, that's what the panda represents, we get it.
Yeah.
And there the drawings she does are a bit weird, but she's like a teenager, and
mom was looking at it, I'm gonna be honest, how mom was looking at it, I'm like, did she draw like
I don't think so.
She showed some of the pictures, and I'm like, this is what all of us teenage girls do. Like, nothing.
Exactly. To me, I was like, it's not that. The reaction was what we were supposed to be like, Ming needs to like take a chill pill right now because she's doing the most, okay? She needs to calm down. But yeah, I didn't think any of that was like overly in your face, whatever. And
not compared to some of the stuff that we show our kids.
No, and I really don't feel like real little kids are gonna like get it. And the kids who are closer to this age are gonna be like, I feel this way. Like, oh, you know, and it is what it is. Well,
and okay, so those drawings, now I'm seeing a lot more of the animation. So, or the the anime tie-ins. Those pictures were very like anime.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the anime shows we were watching when we were that age, and they did like come in close and kiss and do all the things like back then. It wasn't a big deal for us to watch characters kissing.
I promise you. Promise you, we watched way worse stuff when we were that exact age. Yes, and had you clearly don't know what your kids are talking about at school, people. Okay, they are having these conversations. All right, at 13, you need to. It's okay. Do you not
remember? You should have already had these conversations with your kids.
Exactly. Do you not remember being 13? This is just what kids do when they become teenagers.
I think my dad had to talk with me when I was in fifth grade.
That was my thing, is I feel like we really started learning about, you know, the change in late elementary school because.
Where'd we go? McMillan Center.
Yes. And that was like fifth and that was sixth like grade,
fourth,
right?
No, that was like fourth or fifth grade. Like we started like in fourth grade.
No, that is true.
And it got more intense as we got older.
I think
like, I remember them showing us pictures of STDs.
Yes.
And what it does to you.
And we like, was six. It sixth grade that they showed like the birth, and I was like, well, I'm not doing that. That like I was like 12, and I was like, no.
Mm-mm. Well, and we also saw it in high school.
There were just many moments where I was like, that's not a thing I'm going to be doing. It does not look like fun. Okay.
I'll adopt.
No, thank you. Yes. Oh, okay. Let me see. And then another review for the movie said it's not a movie for a kid because it glorifies disobedience. And I was like, what are you talking about? This is what teens do, okay? They start to rebel against their parents. They think their parents don't know anything and they don't, you know, shouldn't have to listen to them. This is the whole thing. And I'm like, this little girl wants to get money to go to a concert, okay? And not even like a crazy concert. This is a boy band, all right? It's not a rapper, you know, like there's nothing in those songs that's gonna be that like, you know, scary and I'm thinking like the first thing that popped in my head was when I was like around this age, I was watching Boy Meets World and Sean put a bomb in a mailbox and blew it up.
Yes, he did.
But I didn't go do that. I don't know about you. I didn't say, you know what, I'm gonna go do, I'm gonna go get a cherry bomb and put it in the mailbox.
There are probably boys who did it.
There are, but Sean was not the reason they did that. I mean, at the end of the day,
they just
No.
Yeah.
So.
And the glorifies disobedience, like, you got to look at it both sides. Yes, she is being disobedient to her mom, but let's be real. Mom is being overly protective, overly everything. And when you have parents like that, if you've never had parents like that, and if my parents are listening, I'm sorry, I love you, but it's hard not to want to rebel because you want to be who you are, but you're feeling stifled in some ways. And I went through a little bit of that, a little bit, not as bad as her, but a little bit.
If
I truly believe, even though I'm not a parent, but I've worked with a lot of teens and I've been working with middle schoolers for 12 years now. If you work with your, and what I mean by work with is if you have open conversations with your children and you listen to them, I think this disobedience, they're still going to not listen to certain things. Yes. They might break the rules, blah, blah, blah. But the big things like sneaking out of the house probably would lessen because you're having open-ended conversations. Now, unless you have that child who's just beyond rotten and it's going to someday on one of those lovely documentaries of killers. It really is how you parent. So you can't just look at the child in this movie. You got to look at the parent in this movie.
I agree.
There's a problem. It's just like Brave. We've talked about this in Brave. There's a problem with the relationship. You got to fix it.
Yes.
This does give me Brave vibes.
And I was, better. You just said that. Yeah. And what does she do? She ends up getting her whole family turned into bears. Okay. How? I don't understand.
What is the bear thing with Disney?
That's pretty funny, actually.
I didn't connect that until I was talking.
This is pretty funny. Anyway. Another Pixar bear related movie with a mother and a daughter.
Yeah, because Brave was Pixar.
Yes, it was. Yes.
Oh my god.
Oh boy. Good times.
Anywho.
All right. So because I was just highly curious, I went through and I read a lot of reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, and it's very funny to me. I was really enjoying myself. Now, I didn't pick out the reviews because there are people who literally I didn't like the movie. And I'm like, you don't have to like it. I mean, I wasn't looking for that. I was looking for the fun comments about this movie. Yeah. And I'd like to share some that I found because it made me laugh. So Alfred R, shout out to you because you said, I don't know if it's in China or Canada, but the Asian culture is very forced in this movie. And I'm just like, did you miss the whole point? what are you talking about?
It's not very diverse.
It's very forced in this movie. I don't like so much Asian culture in my movies. Obviously, Alfred R. is like, no. Bring back the white people to the movies. Goodness, that just cracked me up. I was like, I don't.
Dumb.
These people are too funny. I love it. Aaron said, yuck. My eyes are sad. I see the passion behind it, but God. This movie sucks. But it's just like, yuck, my eyes are sad that I was like, I have to share this because I'm dying. This is just hilarious. I love it. This one I did not understand at all. Roger B says, this is the worst movie I've seen since Encanto came out. Can Disney make one good movie in my lifetime? Please, I beg you. I would prefer Superstar Limo. What is this?
Did he just say that Encanto is a horrible movie?
What is this trash that I'm reading?
Has he watched Encanto?
The worst movie I've seen since Encanto. I was just like, who are you, Roger B? What is wrong with you?
Roger B is a Gen Z or younger, and he's a dum-dum.
Oh my gosh. I just was dying laughing when I saw Encanto. I was like, you gotta be kidding me with this nonsense. Oh boy. Dylan A would like everyone to know that this is an all-time low in kids movies. It was so awful and cringy. I hated it. If I even think of this movie, I feel like puking. It seems like a bit of an extreme reaction to the movie.
Can I point something out on all of these reviews so far?
Oh, I bet you noticed a trend. Yes, go ahead.
Should we wait until the end then?
Yeah. Let's wait till the end and reveal what the trend is. That I'm sure I know exactly where you're going with this. Yes. Daniel P says that this movie teaches girls to throw a tantrum, and you should not do that, girls.
We don't need to be taught to throw a tantrum.
No, you should not throw tantrums. Do not throw tantrums. It's a bad thing, okay?
I have a couple trends in my head that these are going after.
Oh boy. And my last one, Ronald M says, this is truly disgusting. This movie is a horrendous assault to the eyes. No words can express the feeling of torture that I felt while watching this monstrosity of a film. This movie deserves to die the most painful death possible. That just seems like an overreaction.
It's not that bad.
It seems a bit of an overreaction to me for a movie about a kid who turns into a red panda and wants to see a boy band, but to each their own, Ronald. Yes. Alfred, so what is your Aaron, observation?
Uh-huh. Roger, Dylan, Daniel, uh-huh. and Ronald. Uh-huh. Oh my gosh, these are all males.
Wow. Now, to be fair, there were some women who commented on, you know, on there, but they were not nearly as awesome as these reviews. You know, some of them gave actual comments about how their kids didn't enjoy it and things that made sense to me to leave in a review.
But were their kids girls or boys? Here's my thing. Boys. This is a very much a girl movie. Yeah, see, that's mm-hmm. the thing. This is a girl movie.
Truly is.
Guys don't, I mean, this just shows that guys still are not comfortable talking about a very normal and biological thing for females, which is the female puberty cycle.
Yes.
And it's so sad. I'm like, okay, you guys are either all very young or you are married with boys, because mm-hmm. like my dad, shout out to my father, it doesn't faze him when I have to talk about it. Mm-hmm. It didn't faze him when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even faze him now if it has to come up between me and my mom. He actually mm-hmm. will ask me questions mm-hmm. to make sure I'm healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So to any of my dads listening out there who that this subject is not like you embrace the subject with your daughter. Good thank job. You, because it helps them grow up trusting men mm-hmm. that can have these conversations.
Yes.
This just makes me angry.
I just was dying laughing.
Like, of course you're not gonna like it. Like, you're not gonna relate to it. I'm sorry. No. There's finally a movie you can't relate to.
Exactly. And it's not 100%. I don't feel 100% relatable to the movie. And it's not because they're Asian. Thank you again for those wonderful comments that were made by Mr. Alfred. But it's more so because, like, I liked boy bands at that age, but I don't remember being like that into boy bands. But I also was, you know, I was a little more like the punk kid, you know, that was like more my vibe. So I didn't get all.
I was the boy band girl.
Yeah. And so that was more my thing with this, you mm-hmm. know, that I was just like, I like the boy bands. Don't get me wrong. I can sing along to all of the songs from basically most boy bands, I would say, in that era. Yeah. But yeah, at that time, I don't.
98 Degrees.
I don't know as many of those. If they weren't on the radio, I don't think I really knew those songs. I didn't buy any albums by them at all. See, no CDs, no burnt CDs from them that I stole off of LimeWire.
LimeWire.
Oh, fun times.
They will never understand the struggle.
With the dial-up.
Oh my gosh, the dial-up and waiting hours for it to download so you can write the CD. And if it had one little scratch, you were done.
I know. And then it would just be like, error. And I'm just like, I sat here for like 3 hours waiting on you to burn this. What?
I still have all my burnt CDs. I found them. They were in a box.
Yeah, I have all my purchased ones and burnt. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was actually sad when I got my new car because I was like, it doesn't have a CD player.
I know, mine doesn't have a CD player either.
What is this?
My old car did.
I know, I was like, what is this crap? Robbie's car is a CD player. I don't understand but.
Like, now I gotta make these playlists on Spotify.
It's not, I don't know. Like, it's just not the same when you don't have a choice and you're just gonna listen to the CD. You know, now I'm like, skip, 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 you know, but when you mm-hmm. put that CD in, you're committed. All right. You're going to listen to that CD.
It's because we created it.
Mm-hmm.
We carefully curated every single song in order on how that CD needed to go because of the vibe, even though that mm-hmm. wasn't a word back then, but the vibe of
mm-hmm.
what was our word back then for vibe?
Oh,
did we have a word?
I don't know.
I don't think we did.
I don't remember really. Yeah, I mean, it just was.
We didn't really have much like. I mean, like there was like that when we were in middle school.
No, I mean it was more like a theme to the CD, depending on what the mood was supposed to be on the CD.
Theme. There we go.
Yeah,
theme.
I would say we probably just referred to it as a theme. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We use proper literary terms.
Yeah. No vibe. No. Yeah, we did not say that back then. Oh boy.
Goodness gracious! I would smack all these boys.
Yeah, it just.
I really want to know Alfred's take on Raya and the Last Dragon. And
did you know those were also in Asian countries with Asian people in them? Yeah. Alfred. I should have clicked on his name to see if he just goes in and bashes anything that's got Asian people or other ethnicities starring in the movie.
This movie wasn't even in Asia. It was in Toronto.
Nice. And apparently I didn't put that in here, but there's in California, there's like a real like Chinese temple that was built in the 1800s that this was based off of. So I'm like, it's a real thing. I know this is in Canada, but it's a real thing. Like, hello.
And red pandas are so cute.
I know, she was very fluffy. And adorable. So I can't hate on Abby when she was like, oh my goodness, you were like so fluffy, I love you.
I know.
I mean, she's... I got that vibe. I did understand Abby's feelings about that.
It kind of made me think of Despicable Me.
Mm-hmm.
It's so fluffy, I want to die.
Yes, it was that whole idea. Yes, that's what was coming out of Abby, most certainly.
She's like, I need another hit. I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh gosh. We knew an Abby.
Mm-hmm. That was
we all knew an Abby.
Yeah. Yeah. Abby was a lot, but she was entertaining for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
But I mean, like, even their fights and stuff, I was like, yeah, that's how it is to be a teenage girl. Like, you know, like, you just were not friends, but really you're friends, you know, you're just in a fight and so dramatic. And
yeah,
I was like, yeah.
We had a lot of those.
Yeah, that's teenage 13, 14. Yeah, that's that age.
12.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that is how it is.
We were so dramatic.
I know. Everything is a big deal. So I do feel like they got that correct. Everything is a big deal at this age. And I did like when May did her little presentation about why she should get to go. Yeah, and how salty she was when she was told no. That was like, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah,
the way
she's accurate.
I'm like, yeah, good job.
And like hiding everything under your bed to make sure your parents don't see it.
Oh, and that was pretty funny too. When her mom came in, she's like, "Don't look, don't look, don't look." Way to go, May. Way to go, May. Just called it out, you know. And you know, your mom is kind of crazy, so
yeah. It's like, if I knew I had a crazy mom like that, I wouldn't be drawing those things.
Mm-mm. Or I would hide it better.
And keep them in my locker.
Exactly. You hide it better, May. What are you doing? Oh goodness. You know, yeah,
she's still learning. Took us a while.
That is true. Yeah.
Oh my god.
But yeah.
So okay, I mean, after thinking about it, I think the biggest thing that I have with this movie for me is just the fact that it feels like I'm just getting drawn back into my 13-year-old self and thinking about all that, and I'm like, I don't want to think about being 13 again. Go away.
Yeah, it's not a pleasant time. To think of how embarrassing and ridiculous we were.
Yeah.
13.
But their friend group was so cute. I will say that. I loved their friend group. They were so supportive. The fact that the reason she was able to control the panda was because of her friends.
Yeah.
Just I love that message in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very contrasting to her mom, who she didn't have that support. She didn't have that friend group to help me level her out from the perfectionism that she had to deal with her mom. So there are, okay. Now thinking about it, because I just finished it this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I can kind of agree with some of the ratings of like the closer to 7, the thing, because I think that if I had a teenage girl, if I had a 12, 13-year-old girl who starting to go through puberty and her body was changing, this would be the movie I'd show her and be like, okay, let's break this down in like real life now.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Yeah, I think it is a good movie for around that age to say like, this is normal. It's okay if you feel your feelings. It's all right.
I want to know how old Dami she is.
Oh yeah, I'm not sure.
Our age. this will explain a lot.
She probably is. I mean, oh, they kind of nailed some age of it. Yeah.
Oh, and my gosh. Yeah. She was born in 89. she's
our age. So she understood. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dami, you hit me right where it hurts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You hit it on the nail.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, that certainly was it. Yes.
Oh, mm-hmm. She worked on Inside Out.
Oh. Well, I mean, again, they did a good job with some of the feelings, you know, that she feels, so it makes sense.
She was in the animation department.
Okay. Well, moving on up.
For Incredibles 2.
Moving on up. Look at you.
Okay, her first one she directed for Disney was that short, Bayo.
Oh, she did that one. She did Bayo. Which makes sense. So then she got an expanded universe. Look at that.
Yeah. I mean, she only has four things on her list right now. So she started, like, she's still new. Mm-hmm. She was a storyboard artist for Toy Story 2, Incredibles 2, The Good Dinosaur, and Inside Out.
Wow. Okay.
So Inside Out was, like, her start.
Mm-hmm.
Aww. Nice.
Good job. Bravo.
Yeah. I'm excited to see more from her.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you got us where it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Which means you did a good job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you're uncomfortable about girls and menstrual cycles, I guess don't watch the movie. But it's okay, because I hate to tell you, but it's a thing. And it's going to happen to all the women out there.
Yep.
It's not something we should hide. It's a thing, unfortunately. It's
normal.
It is. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm just glad we don't have to go hide for 7 days like they did back in old times.
Talk about dramatic.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Mm-hmm. They had to like go like hide and just bleed for 7 days.
Although, you know, sometimes I would be like, yeah, I'll go hide for a week.
I know.
And I'm just watch TV and snack and, you know, live my life. That might actually, maybe we should bring that back, you know, like a paid leave every month. I could do that. Yeah.
I'd be okay with it. Or at least work remotely for myself and not have to deal with the customers.
Yeah. See, yeah, I work remotely, but I have to talk to people. So I need just the week off, I think is what it is.
I wouldn't need to deal with customers. They would just send me the information and I would put everything together and I can go through text message and email.
Must be nice.
It is.
Must be nice.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Well, that's all I have. We
basically talked about, yeah. I mean, there's not a whole lot, I feel like, to this movie. It is, you know, puberty, so, boy bands.
What do you give it? Like, what do you think?
I mean, probably like a 7 is a respectable number.
Yeah, I was thinking like 6 or 7.
For this one, yeah. I mean, I don't think it's as bad as some people obviously said it was, but
yeah,
you know, I think it is aimed definitely at a younger audience, and that's why it just doesn't appeal as much to me. And I don't have that nostalgia. So like Toy Story is for a younger audience, but we have a nostalgia attachment to it. Yes. So there's a difference there too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she tried to bring in that nostalgia. I mean, I think she tried to bring in the nostalgia of basing it in 2002, and I'm wondering, right, like part of me wonders if this is like her a lot, like I wonder if she wrote herself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, absolutely. I wonder if this was supposed to be like part of her story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
since she based it back when we were teenagers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because you don't see many movies like that anymore. You don't see a lot of movies pulling back to, well, I mean, 2000s, it's new for us to see that pullback, but usually we're seeing like 80s and 70s and we go back there. This is like kind of the first movie we've seen where they're pulling us back to the 2000s.
Because it was 20 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
I just was doing that in my head and I was like, well, yeah. So we saw 80s movies growing up because, you know, the times.
Yeah.
And now it is the times where the 90s and the 2000s.
Can we go to Neverland and stop time?
I know, right?
And technically, we are going to Neverland next week for Peter Pan and Wendy.
We are. And I wish I was more excited about it.
I know. I wish I was more excited about it too. I'm not. I kind of wish we would have done Peter Pan first and then this one, because this one was least tolerable.
Yeah, this turned out to be a better conversation. So I don't know how next week is going to go.
Yeah, I don't
unfortunately.
Know.
Yeah.
Well, let's go find out.
All right.
Pixie Dusters, thank you so much for joining us. As always, check out our social media pages. Mm-hmm. And come back next week to hear what we think of the new version of Peter Pan and Wendy live action.
Yes. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan. The show is written and produced by Ashley and Sammy, except for those manifestos, which are all written by Dan himself. Intro and audio editing by Sammy, logo created by Ashley. The show is produced as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Make sure you check out all of our other shows and have a magical day.